The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's the point of the left's comprehensive regimen of censorship enforced across digital platforms? Well, it's to prevent our side from communicating with each other. So what's our solution? I'm going to talk about Trump's solution, and I'm going to talk about my solution. The case of two bomb-throwing leftist lawyers shows how terrorism is now a feature of the left, not of the right. Listening to the slogans of the Biden State Department, I'm reminded of nothing less than the slogans of the apparatchiks of the old Soviet Union. I'll explain. Comedian Terrence Williams will be joining me. He's going to talk about what he's cooking up now. And finally, I'm going to reflect on Nietzsche, Darwin, and the Christian view of human nature. This is the Dinesh D'Souza podcast.
America needs this voice. The times are crazy. In a time of confusion, division, and lies, we need a brave voice of reason, understanding, and truth. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Podcast.
The left's net of censorship continues to expand. In other words, it's getting worse. It's reaching absurd proportions. Here are some of the topics that you can't candidly talk about. Number one, you can't talk about election fraud. Immediate ban across places like Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and the Google-owned platform. You can't talk about a number of aspects of COVID-19. Not merely the vaccine or treatments, but you can't even talk about the lab leak theory, as I found out myself when Twitter flagged or threatened to flag a series of videos that didn't talk about vaccines, but talked about lab leaks. You can't talk about BLM and racial politics in open discussion. You can't talk about the trans issue. If you say anything negative about the so-called protected groups, you're flagged, you're demonetized, you're deplatformed, you're suspended, you're kicked off the platform altogether. And now at YouTube, they've added climate change. So when you read the guidelines, and these are extensive guidelines, it's very clear that what they mean by misinformation, what they mean by hate, is anything that disagrees with them. They're not worried about hate directed at our side. They're not worried about misinformation put out by the left. It's a massive double standard. Essentially, what they're saying is this is our playground, and you're going to play by our rules. And that's the way it is. Now, this puts us as conservatives in a very bad position. Why? Because they're preventing us from communicating with our own side. Think of the helpless feeling you have when the other side controls. You can almost say it's like a military strategy. They're cutting off the roads and bridges that allow you to move from place A to place B, rhetorically speaking. Now, it's not enough to deal with this. By the way, this is something that we face, I mean, right here on this very podcast. And I'm really not used to it. I'm used to speaking my mind. I'm used to being able to say what I think. And this idea of having to operate within guided parameters or else, I mean, the podcast itself wouldn't be viable if it was pulled off all these mainstream platforms. Advertisers wouldn't advertise. I probably couldn't even do it. So as a result, Debbie and I, we have this daily conversation. We go through the items and Debbie will warn me. She's the producer. After all, it's her job. She'll be like, you know, if you say that, you could be taken off YouTube. If you say that, you could be flagged on Facebook. And so what you have is not only this elaborate regime of censorship, but the equally dispiriting and, to me, infuriating regime of self-censorship. So what I do in the podcast is, I go as far as I can, but I don't go as far as I want to. And so this has been rankling at me now for months. And as I say, the problem is getting worse and it's time to do something about it. Take some steps. Now, It's not enough to wait for lawsuits. Oh, yeah, there's some state laws that are going to be imposing some penalties. That's good. Texas, Florida, other states are starting to move in on these big tech censors. That's helpful. Trump has a big lawsuit that is weaving its way through the courts. That's helpful. But what can we do about this now? Many people, in a sense, are doing nothing. Even though we do have alternative platforms, we have Parler, which had been knocked on its back, but is now up and running. But a lot of people are like, well, you know, they've kind of lost the habit of going on Parler. Well, go on Parler, set up your account. Getter, an excellent platform, very functional. I really like Getter. I post stuff every day, and I post stuff there that I don't post elsewhere. Set up your account and don't wait until the sword of Damocles falls on your head and you're banned on Twitter and banned on Facebook. And then you say, oh, well, maybe I should go to Getter. No, set up now. Protect yourself early. Think ahead. That's very important. I'm thinking ahead. By the way, when I heard about Trump's platform, and this, I'm excited about this. This is Trump's platform called Truth Social, coming out apparently early next year. I wrote Trump's man, Dan Scavino, and also Liz Harrington, who's Trump's communications director. So I'm going to be working with those guys to get in early on that platform and establish a voice there, because I think that could potentially be huge. I've also discovered an amazing platform. It's called Locals. It's called Locals, and I'm jumping into Locals sort of with both feet, and I'm doing it starting now, starting today. So here's what I'm going to do on Locals. It's a subscriber platform, which means that you subscribe to the my page and you get exclusive content that absolutely doesn't appear anywhere else. In fact, you're getting Dinesh unfiltered, Dinesh uncensored, and Dinesh unchained. Oh, he's like, oh no, this is bad. I may have to watch that one. No, you are not the producer of my content on Locals. So, you know, daily I'm going to post essentially uncensored videos. I'm going to address all the taboo subjects. There will be, in fact, no taboos. I'm going to also give you kind of behind the scenes look, not just at my work, but at my life, at kind of the conversations, discussions, the dilemmas we deal with every day. And a behind the scenes look also at this podcast and at the movies I'm working on and all kinds of stuff. I'm also going to go into a little bit of how-to, because people often ask me, hey, Dinesh, you know, how do you write articles? What's the way to write a really good article? How do you write a book? How do you make a movie? How do you give a speech? How do you win a debate? How do you argue? How do you defend your views in normal conversation against people? How do you deal with people who are friends or relatives and you want to be a little sensitive? You don't want to lose the friendship. You don't want to break off communication with a relative. How do you handle those kinds of issues? I'll give you some tips for that. I'm going to open up the whole world of great books and great ideas. And this may seem like safe territory, but not anymore. Even this is taboo in universities. Even this is taboo. Just open conversations about ideas and how they relate to what's going on now. And finally, a weekly live Q&A. A Q&A in which I'm on for 30 minutes or 45 minutes. And I'll take questions directly and I'll be answering them in real time. So this is a very interactive platform. Here's how you do it. You go to dinesh.locals.com. So that's my username, if you will, on Locals, dinesh.locals.com, and check it out. I think you're going to find it a great platform, a terrific alternative to all the other platforms that I'm on, with fresh material being posted every day. Censorship has become intolerable. I've got to do something about it. You've got to do something about it. Let's do it together. Guys, you have all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. And Mike has an offer for my listeners on his standard MyPillows, his classic product. You're going to get a standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98 for $19.98. I'm not kidding, $19.98. Now, these wonderful pillows won't go flat. You can wash and dry them as many times as you want. They maintain their shape. They're made in the USA. The pillows come with a 10-year warranty, so you know it's going to last, and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. It's time to start getting the quality sleep we not only want, what our body needs. You also get, by the way, deep discounts on all the other MyPillow products, the MyPillow towels, the robes, the mattress topper, the My Slippers, and so much more. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Dinesh to get this amazing MyPillow offer, $19.98. Call 1-800-876-0227. That's 800-876-0227. Or go to MyPillow.com. Be sure to use promo code D-I-N-E-S-H Dinesh. I mentioned in the last segment, guys, how excited I am to be joining the platform Locals and how you can get all kinds of exclusive content from me there. I wanted to bring on a buddy of mine, Tad Lumpkin, who is the creative director of Locals, to talk about this platform. Tad, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining me. You're the one who reached out to me about the idea of coming on board at Locals, and I kind of find myself there in this kind of buzzing cultural and political and intellectual community. It's really cool. Let me start by asking you, how did Locals get started?
Well, thanks for having me on, Dinesh, and it's great to see you as always. So Locals was born out of really a personal need, which I think happens with a lot of companies in the startup world. You know, Patreon, which kind of dominated the content creator utility platform where people could go on and put their stuff up and do a subscription to their fans. They started censoring people and they started putting people off. And that really sent shockwaves through the early adopters of that, including Dave Rubin, who was on that platform. And he and a number of other people left Patreon when they started to do this, seeing Patreon was going to go the same way as so many other big tech platforms were headed, which was all the promises of community and free speech and democratization of content and creation were getting swept aside for, you know, control of narrative and things like that. And so Dave and our CEO, Asaf, really went forward to figure out what's a solution that we can create a technology and media company that empowers creators to go on and have control over their media and have a place where their audience is free to engage with them and each other, and they set the rules. And so what really delineates Locals as a platform is that we've handed power over to the individual creators to be able to control their own channels and set their own moderation rules and not have big tech and the heavy hand of a platform with an agenda trying to alter a free and independent debate, regardless of where you are in the spectrum. We don't consider ourselves on a political evangelism side, except we evangelize for independent thought and rigorous debate and the ability of people to connect with over content and ideas that they're passionate about and want to discuss.
I mean, when checking out Locals, I saw a whole bunch of familiar names, and not all of them were on the conservative side of the aisle. I mean, there were people like Tulsi Gabbard and others on there as well. And yep. And what you're saying is that it's not that there is no moderation, but the moderation is done by the content creator. So in other words, if I want to set standards on my page and say, listen, I don't want a lot of obscenities, I don't want this, I don't want that, I can actually do it, but you're not doing it. The platform isn't dictating those standards, rather the content creator is, right?
That's right. And that way you get the channel that you're setting out to do, and you're getting something that you and your audience are comfortable with. And we trust that our creators are going to do that so long as it doesn't violate the laws of the United States. I mean, basically, other than that, we trust people. And what's so great is, as a result of both that and the fact that we're subscription, not advertising based, you get no trolls, you get no ads. I mean, it becomes a really excellent place where your channel becomes the gold standard of interactivity. And it's really an amazing thing when you get a whole bunch of people of good faith, whether they agree or disagree on a specific item, debating and contributing. It's awesome. And it's a really special thing that we feel is a very powerful, much desired option out there in the marketplace.
I mean, what you're saying, Tad, is that, you know, this podcast, for example, that you're on, it's funded by ads. So it's free to people, but they do have ads running throughout the podcast, which is part of what helps to pay for the podcast. But Locals is a different model, right? It's a model where there's a modest subscription. Now, there is also a premium subscription, which gives you sort of, you know, a much more direct access to the people that you're following. But this way, it's just open conversation, uncensored conversation. I mean, I'm excited about the idea of, like, you know, Dinesh Unchained, Dinesh Unfiltered. Yeah. I just feel so like, I feel like Gulliver, you know, like tied down by these, you know, man-bunned Lilliputians that all these, so these sites. So just the idea of breaking free of those shackles and being myself, I mean, it's very exhilarating.
That's right. And I mean, freedom and free debate and free thought, it's like, how do you have enjoyment if you can't express yourself and not to use a authoritarian term of safe space, but in a free space is a safe space. And it's where flourishing can occur. And normally, you know, when you come to Locals, generally you'll see some free content because most of the creators want to show you, hey, here's what we're doing. It's really exciting. And then you go in and you pay generally a very modest subscription fee to be able to engage at a higher level, see the most exclusive content, have direct access to the content creators, participate in live chats. You know, and by the way, you're paying already on all these other platforms. You're paying because they're taking all your data. You're paying because they're making you watch their incessant ads. And what you're also paying with now, which is the charge that's become most prescient, is freedom. Because you're not able to even have half of these discussions. You're not able to exchange these ideas. So how much is that worth? Like, what is free exchange to you worth? And I would say, you know, for a handful of dollars a month, whatever the, we allow the creators to decide that as well. But, you know, it's a very, very modest fee to participate in, frankly, saving open debate and independent thought.
God, I couldn't agree more. Hey, thanks for sharing on the podcast, my page, of course, that you guys helped set up for me, dinesh.locals.com. So I'm just going with Dinesh. I've become like Madonna, in which my name kind of is all that's necessary. It's just dinesh.locals.com. So people just type that in and they'll find me, right?
That's it. They just type in dinesh.locals.com. And, you know, normally we don't just do a, like a first name like that, but like Madonna, there is only one Dinesh. So, you know, we held that.
Debbie's rolling her eyes. Yes, there's only one Dinesh.
It's really that simple. And I mean, you know, they can go to locals.com as the hub to the platform where they can see a lot of different names that we have. And then we have our creators have their own portal way in, just like yours at dinesh.locals.com. And everyone should just repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, because if you want Dinesh Unchained, Dinesh Uncensored, special access to the one and only Dinesh, that's where you want to go.
Dad, thanks very much for joining me. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Dinesh.
Have you ever browsed the internet in incognito mode? Well, it's not as incognito as you think, and why would it be? Incognito mode is a Google product, and Google has made its fortune by tracking your movements online. There's even a $5 billion class action lawsuit against the company in California where it's accused of secretly collecting user data. Google's defense, well, incognito doesn't mean invisible. So how do you actually make yourself as invisible as possible online? Well, you use ExpressVPN like I do. Turns out that even in incognito mode, your online activity still gets tracked and data brokers still get to buy and sell your data. One of these data points is your IP address, and data harvesters use your IP to uniquely identify you and your location. But with ExpressVPN, your connection gets rerouted through an encrypted server and your IP address is masked. Super easy to use. Just tap one button and you're protected. So if you really want to go incognito and protect your privacy, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN. Visit expressvpn.com/Dinesh and get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Dinesh. Go to expressvpn.com/Dinesh to learn more. Fighter that he is, Donald Trump is stepping into the media space. with his own platform that is going to be called Truth Social. Truth Social. Now, kind of makes me chuckle almost nostalgically, because when Debbie and I and our families, Danielle, we were sitting with President Trump, he had sort of asked me, what can I do after the presidency? And I was a little taken aback. But what I suggested to him is, I said, you know, start a media corporation, go into the media space. Now, what I had in mind specifically wasn't merely a social media platform. It was a more expanded vision that included a network, not even so much of a cable daily 24-hour talk network, but rather a lifestyle network, a network that would encompass comedy and movies, and but also shows like The View, but obviously with a different perspective. And with a different view. Yes, exactly. And Trump is, you know, I'm really happy that he's not just suing these social media corporations, but he's decided to start his own. And I saw that Jason Miller, the CEO of Getter, goes, hey, welcome to the competition. More is better. And I agree. I think it is great for us to have multiple platforms. The left has multiple platforms, and they created them first. So we're a little bit late to the game. Trump's platform is going to be launched in early 2022. It's going to be in sort of beta testing for the next couple of months. And I've been informed that I'll be one of the people who's going to be involved in the beta testing, which is cool, because we'll get the kinks out of the system and we'll be able to hit the ground running, which is awesome. Apparently, the platform, I don't know a lot of details about it yet, is going to be kind of a combination of Twitter and of Facebook. So it'll have Twitter elements. Trump, of course, loves Twitter. So this is going to be his anti-Twitter, if you will. And hopefully it will take a giant bite out of Twitter. I really hope so. And but also Facebook, which is all a kind of a quasi-monopoly. And, you know, we have some alternatives to Twitter now in Parler and Getter. We have some alternatives to YouTube in Rumble. Rumble is a terrific platform. If you're not on Rumble, you should be. And I post a lot of content daily to Rumble. Here's Trump, very Trumpian. We live in a world where the Taliban has a huge presence on Twitter, yet your favorite American president has been silenced. This is unacceptable. So what I love about this is you can tell that was not written by some media guy. That was written by Trump. Why? Because you can hear Trump say it. This is all very good news, I think, for our side, because it shows that we are putting our sleeves up and we're doing something about things. You know, it's a little bit like, kind of reminds me of what happens when, you know, when a kid, a teenager, is kicked out of the house by his parents. Initially, it's horrible. You don't know what to do. You don't know how you're going to function. But then when you get a job and you begin to search for an apartment, you find a place to live, you have a roommate, but then you can find your own place. Slowly, you begin to get on your own feet. And the result is a liberation. You begin to realize, wait a minute, I actually am independent. I can function on my own. I don't need those guys. I'm not as parasitic as I thought I was. And so I think that this development, one that, by the way, was forced upon us, we were essentially made personas non grata on the liberal platforms, where I still live, but I live very precariously and unhappily, grumpily, if you will, always waiting to see what am I going to be flagged for this time. Once we have our own platforms, it will be a tremendous liberation. We can stay on the other platforms and use them to pound the left. But we will also have our own platforms where we can breathe, you may say, the air of freedom. Inflation is already running hot, right at the highs of the last couple of decades. And now the Democrats are pushing through another massive spending plan. They want $3.5 trillion. Here's the deal. If you think money grows on trees like our government does, well, just keep living in ignorance. But if you're freaked out, as I am, about the impact this additional spending is going to have on already high inflation, well, now's the time to protect your savings. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold and silver with Birch Gold Group. If you haven't reached out to Birch Gold to diversify part of your IRA or 401k into a precious metals IRA, do it today. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. They have an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless 5-star reviews, and thousands of happy customers. Talk to them. Have them help you safeguard your investments. Text Dinesh to 48848 to claim your free information kit and to speak with a precious metals expert on holding gold and silver in a tax-sheltered account. Again, text Dinesh to 484848 and protect your savings today. Here's some excellent news. Two leftist lawyers are facing up to 10 years in prison for violent and indeed terroristic actions in the wake of the George Floyd incident. These are the lawyers. The first guy is Collinford Mattis, and he had a female companion, Uruj Rahman. Sounds like an Asian Indian. In fact, looks like an Asian Indian from the mugshot I'm looking at in front of me. So here's what happened. Uruj Rahman was the main culprit. She actually threw a firebomb into a police car, tried to distribute more firebombs to others to throw, and then fled in a getaway car that was driven by Collinford Mattis. So these guys were obviously co-conspirators. They're working together. Here's a remarkable fact. These people are sort of the best and brightest of what our university system is producing, which really shows you that not only is there a great deal of radicalism being cultivated in the universities, but the more elite the university, the more radical it tends to be. Now, Collinford Mattis, the black guy who was part of this operation, Princeton, NYU Law School. Uruj Rahman, Fordham Law School. So these are people who are learning in their classes that America's evil and should be destroyed. They hear that the cops are racist, and so they should be stopped. They should be blocked. They should be prevented from doing their job, even if it involves harming them or even killing them. Now, these guys were both, at the time that they took their actions, lawyers, which is to say they knew exactly what they were doing. They knew they were breaking the law. This is not a case where, you know, we just got a little bit carried away. No, these are guys who are in the legal field working for law firms. And I think they both recognize that their tenure at law firms is now over. But here's something interesting. Here's Rachel Barkow. She's an NYU law school professor. She taught this guy Mattis, and you'd think she'd be ashamed of herself. Look, I've planted all these seeds of radicalism. This guy's now trying to bomb police cars. Is this what education is all about? But no, she is intervening to try to help him and try to prevent him from getting prison time. She goes, quote, "Neither have any criminal record. No one was hurt. Neither had any intent to hurt anyone through their actions." Now, let's pause for a minute, because this is the criterion that, if applied to the January 6th defendants, would essentially exonerate virtually all of them. Let's read it again. "Neither have any criminal record." That's true of the vast majority of January 6th defendants. "No one was hurt." That is manifestly true. And neither had any intent to hurt anyone through their actions. That's true also. So if you apply this criteria, okay, you want to apply the criteria in this case, but apply it across the board. This is the point that infuriates me about the left, is they want to apply these kinds of, let's understand the motivation of the perpetrator. But when it comes to our side, let's forget about all that. Let's just put labels. Oh, there was an insurrection. It was a riot. It was terrorism. Even though no one's charged with insurrection, even though no one's charged with sedition. So these labels and designations are used to then unleash the full fury of the federal government against them. Well, I'm really glad that these guys aren't getting off lightly. It remains to be seen what sentence they will get. In fact, the 10-year sentence only applies to if their actions are categorized as amounting to some form of terrorism. Seems to me kind of obvious that they are. But the judge goes, he goes, "The terrorism enhancement is going to be a big issue. I have no idea. I have no idea where I'm going to come out on that." So again, it is quite possible that these guys, again, will get something relatively light for doing something very serious, whereas our guys who have done something terribly light end up getting serious penalties as a consequence. Aches and pains come to us all eventually, whether from the normal wear and tear of time or from injury. Well, don't feel trapped by aches and pains. Fight back against them. And now there's a 100% drug-free solution. It's called Relief Factor. Relief Factor supports your body's fight against inflammation. That's the source of aches and pains. The vast majority of people who try Relief Factor order more. Why? Because it works for them. Typically, advertisers send us products and Debbie and I try them. Debbie's been suffering from frozen shoulder for a couple of years now. And well, a while ago, Relief Factor sent us some samples and it was amazing. She tried them. Wow, she could lift her arm. It no longer hurt. Well, then she ran out of the supply they sent. She got busy. She didn't order more. And unfortunately, the pain came right back. So Debbie's been on Relief Factor for a couple of weeks now. And guess what? Her pain is gone again. And she can lift her arm again. You too can benefit. Try it for yourself. Order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Wow. Go to relieffactor.com or call 833-690-7246 to find out more about this offer. Again, that number, 833-690-7246, or go to relieffactor.com. Feel the difference. Let's contemplate a post that the State Department just put out, because it really reveals the way in which very important agencies of our government, it isn't just that they've gone woke, they've lost a sense of what their purpose is. I'm going to read it. Today on International Pronouns Day, we share why many people list pronouns on their email and social media profiles. Read more here on blah, 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 State Department link. Now, let's pause for a minute. I mean, it's one thing if you saw this on some Reuters article or something in the Washington Post in the back page, kind of a culturally interested, why do people post pronouns on? But what is the State Department doing with this? Why is this? What does this have to do with what the State Department does? Is this actually part of international diplomacy? Is the State Department on a crusade to convince other countries that they should change their pronouns? Are they going to try to convince the Taliban? Hey, guys, listen, all of you keep posting Mullah this and Mr. that. No, 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 no. How do you know that you're a man? How do you know you're passing all these laws about women can't be educated? How do you know what's a woman? You know, this is merely something that was assigned to them. I'm laughing at this because I'm thinking about a video that was posed by a radiologist. I showed Debbie the other day, and the radiologist goes, listen, take a look at this ultrasound. Take a look at what you see in the womb. I am not assigning a sex. I am describing what I see on the ultrasound. In other words, the sex is given by biology. The sex is not being somehow arbitrarily designated or assigned by me. Now, when we think of this, and remember, this is the same State Department that the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, right before the fall of Kabul, was flying the rainbow flag, was talking about the fact that it was Pride Week and Pride Day. This is what these people are obsessed about. The Defense Department, the same thing. They're now, you know, viewing climate change through the lens of defense. They're now viewing identity politics through the lens of defense. It's almost as if these people have forgotten what they're there to do. And what's funny is that while they've forgotten what they are there to do, they're acting as if other people in other countries who know very well what they're doing, as if those guys are clueless. You might have seen a video that was kind of gleefully shared by a number of these sort of Defense Department, State Department types, but also by others on social media. You have a Taliban guy, one of the leaders of the Taliban, who can't find Afghanistan on a map. And to view the video in isolation, it looks like the guy's kind of dumb because he sort of keeps spinning the globe, you know, and you can tell he has no idea where Afghanistan, and the idea is, look at this dummy, you know, look at this guy, he's sort of totally clueless, he looks a little retarded, you know, these are the guys supposedly running the country. Well, first of all, these are the guys running the country. Second of all, these are the guys who defeated the most powerful army in the world, so it's a little pathetic for these losers in our defense establishment to be chortling about the stupidity of people who just kind of kick their butts. But it's more important to think about what that Taliban guy actually knows, because what he does know is far more important. Yeah, maybe he can't find Afghanistan on a globe, but you know what he does know? He does know the terrain around Afghanistan. He does know what the hills and what the villages are. He knows how to find his way. He knows the tribes. He knows the differences between the various tribes and the ancient enmities that set people apart. He knows who his allies are. He knows who he can count on. He knows which families, when he knocks on their door, will open their door and give him food. He knows who his enemies are. He has a very clear understanding of who his enemies are. He knows how to hide in the mountains. He knows places that he can go where even if large bombs are being dropped in the area, he's going to be safe. He's fortified by hardship and endurance and the Islamic faith. So it's one thing to laugh at this guy, but when it comes to actual on-the-ground combat, that is one guy who actually knows exactly what he's doing. And meanwhile, these metrosexual, bespectacled clowns in the State Department, starting with Anthony Blinken and making their way downward, they have no clue of what they are supposed to be all about. Fruits and vegetables are integral to any healthy diet, but why do so few Americans actually eat the recommended servings of produce every day? Because it can be difficult to prepare that much produce daily. By taking Balance of Nature, you're giving your body all the nutrients it needs to increase your cells' vitality. Get the nutrition that can only be found in whole natural fruits and vegetables. Debbie and I take 10 daily servings of fruits and veggies, all in 6 small capsules. There are absolutely no trouble swallowing. Always fresh, nothing artificial. They smell great. And Debbie swears by the fiber and spice. I was finally convinced to take it myself. We are really liking it. Invest in your health. Invest in your life. Join me and experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself for years to come. For a limited time, all new preferred customers get an additional 35% discount and free shipping on your first Balance of Nature order. Use discount code America. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code America. So, guys, I've really been looking forward to this. Our friend, Debbie and my friend, Terrence Williams. You know the comedian Terrence Williams. You've seen him all over social media. He's also done comedy stand-up performances around the country. Well, Terrence appears to be going into a new field. I don't think he's abandoning the old one, but he's taken up a new one. So, Terrence, thanks for joining me and love the outfit. And you are now going into the cooking business. So say a word, Terrence, about, I mean, I remember from your social media routines that you'd often be like eating some fried chicken or you'd be like drinking a milkshake. And that was actually part of it. And you look like you were genuinely enjoying the food. So you look like you're a food guy. Talk about what gave you the idea for setting up a food, a pancake business. Cousin Tease, talk a little bit about how you decided to do it.
Yeah, Dinesh, I think if anyone has ever seen any of my videos, they know that I love eating. I love food. Oh, I love food. It just makes me feel so good, you know? The food ever make you feel so good, you just want to eat and eat and eat, but then you got to stop because you may gain a little weight, you know?
Well, that's, you know, Terrence, let me interrupt you here because you're such a trim guy. That is this a problem for you for this new product? Because people might expect you to be like, if you're eating your own food, you should be like 400 pounds. But here you are, healthy and trim. Is it because you eat the right stuff?
I do. No, it's because I will eat pancakes and then I will go walking. Okay, you got to eat a pancake and then go walking.
Okay,
you got to walk the pancake off. Walk the pancake off. But Dinesh, I came up with Cousin T's pancakes. I love pancakes. I mean, it's one of my favorite food items. I love pancakes. And after they canceled Aunt Jemima, I was honestly devastated. When they took her face off of the box, I used to love going into the stores and seeing that beautiful black face on that red box. And they took that off the box. And me loving food, I was already thinking about coming out with my own food product because I'm always eating and I just love food. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to come out with Cousin T's pancakes. And this has been such a journey. I've been working on this for a year now. And Dinesh, I tell you, man, like growing up in foster care and not only making it to the White House, which was a blessing, but coming out with my own food product, I mean, I remember there were times I didn't have anything to eat when I was bouncing from shelter to shelter and I was, you know, going and I didn't have any food. And my siblings and I, we all went hungry. And I just, so now I have my own food product. Dinesh, I'll never be hungry again. I mean,
well, you know, Terrence, I got to tell you, growing up in India, I had never eaten a pancake. Neither had I eaten a waffle, by the way. Yeah, so I was probably 18 years old when I tasted my first pancake. And it was for me part of the American experience. One of those things that I hadn't eaten before. And this is awesome. I'm looking at your website. You've got like an assortment of different combinations. So you can buy pancakes, but you can buy pancakes and an apron, pancakes and a mug. Talk a little bit about the different combos that people have, because Debbie and I are already like starting to put our Christmas list together and we're like, our friends are going to laugh their heads off if they can get some delicious pancakes and they love you. So the combination is like irresistible. Talk about some of the combinations that you have on the site that give people options.
Oh, yes, and I also forgot to mention, these are gourmet pancakes. These are gourmet pancakes. These are not those cheap, nasty pancakes you find in a lot of stores. These are gourmet pancakes. We put a lot of work into this. But on the store, you can get the Cousin T apron, which I have on now. You can get mugs. We have hats, T-shirts. We have hoodies. I mean, it's just so much stuff on there, and a lot of great Christmas gifts also.
I mean, one of the combos, what's nice is you have, you also have your book, which I think is a very moving and powerful story.
Yeah, I also have my book on there. You can have pancakes and read, and you can read my book. You know, Dinesh, I really want people to, eat these pancakes, not just eat them, but gather around the table with their friends, with their family, and enjoy a great meal. That's something that I have always wanted growing up, when I was growing up in foster care. I would watch TV, or I would see people out, I would see other children with their family members at restaurants, and I would say, man, I wish I could have that. I wish I could sit at a table with my mother and my father and have pancakes or have meatloaf or have whatever. I wish that I could gather around the table with my family. So this is something that I have always dreamed about, and I would love to see other Americans gather around the table and enjoy some great Cousin T pancakes.
Well, Terrence, one of these days we got to have you to our house. We'll have you bring some of those pancakes, which we will then fire up. It's going to be wonderful. I admire the fact that you not only have survived so much, Terrence, but you're showing that kind of entrepreneurial creativity in which, you not only broke into social media, you got the comedy thing going, but now you're going into another field altogether, and you're doing it with so much verve and so much creativity. It's really awesome. By the way, guys, I want to tell you about the website. It's very simple. It's just cousinteas.com. So COUSINT. Don't forget the S, cousinteas.com. And there you will find Terrence and his pancakes and all these different combinations and packages. And I'll tell you, we're going to be keeping this front and center as we, this is going to be kind of part of the, what everybody gets in their stocking is a whole bunch of Terrence this Christmas. And I know it's going to make him smile. So Terrence, anything you want to add? Because I think you've done something really cool here, and I hope people jump on it, taste the pancakes, laugh with you as they're eating them, and have that family celebration that, as you say, is really the essence of why we're here in America.
Exactly. And you know what, Dinesh? I know I'm a comedian. I know I do social media. But, man, I love eating. I just may stick with this, because this is where my heart is. My heart is with pancakes. My heart is with food. This is what I really love doing. Doing comedy is hard, thinking of jokes. Eating pancakes is easy. Pancakes is easy.
Absolutely.
Dinesh, why would I want to do comedy? Why would I want to get up every morning to make videos when I can just go to the kitchen and cook pancakes all day? this is what I want to do. And a lot of people are, now I announced this yesterday. So I launched yesterday, and some people were concerned. They said, well, Terrence, we really hope that Cousin T's does not get canceled. And I am here to let everyone in America know, Cousin T's will not be canceled. They will not take my face off this box at all. This face is not going anywhere. Not going anywhere. You can find it on the apron. You can find it on a box. You can find it on a T-shirt, on a hoodie. This face is not getting canceled. Cousin T's is for everybody. And I would love for everyone in America to enjoy these great American pancakes. These were made in America. By the way, these pancakes were not made in China. Made in America. If you find any pancakes made in America, if any pancakes are selling in America that were made in China, I don't know about that, okay?
Terrence, I'm literally getting, I'm not only chuckling listening to you, Debbie and I both are, but we're getting hungry listening to you. So this sounds like great stuff. Folks, check it out. Terrence Williams, a great guy. It's Cousin T, COUSINTS.com. Terrence, thanks for joining me. Really appreciate it. I want to challenge you to become a MyPillow super shopper like Debbie and me, and there's no better time than now as we're leading up to Christmas. Now, we don't just patronize MyPillow, we go all out and support Mike Lindell. We're happy to do it. He's a guy who stands up for his beliefs and his faith, and he also makes great products. Now, Mike Lindell wants you to be a super shopper. He wants to make it easy for you. How? By giving you great deals. And right now, he's offering buy one, get one free on his Giza Dream Sheets. He's also offering up to 66% off on other products. All the MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Call 800-876-0227. That's 800-876-0227. Or go to MyPillow.com to get the discounts. You got to use promo code Dinesh. I want to talk about the enmity, the clash, and it's kind of a one-sided clash between two of the greatest atheists of the 19th century. And I then want to draw out the implications of that clash for the Christian view of human nature. So the two prominent atheists I'm talking about, well, one of them didn't call himself an atheist, only an agnostic, but he clearly was an atheist in that he believed that there was no God. And this is, of course, Charles Darwin. Darwin, perhaps the most influential atheist of all time. Richard Dawkins, the biologist at Oxford, once said that Darwin made it possible to be an intellectually fulfilled atheist. Why? Because he showed, you may say, a natural, requiring seemingly no divine action, a process for how species came to be, and in fact, how human beings came to be. So this is the atheistic reading, not the only reading, by the way, but an atheistic reading of Darwin, which Darwin himself seems to have, in the end, endorsed. And the other prominent atheist of the 19th century, this could probably be the second most influential atheist, and I think his atheism actually runs deeper. This is the philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, the German thinker who is the author of the infamous phrase, God is dead. God is dead. Now, Nietzsche, interestingly enough, is often written about in a manner that conflates him with Darwin, as if Nietzsche embraced the Darwinian philosophy, took it on board, so that Nietzsche represents sort of philosophic atheism, and Darwin represents scientific atheism, and this is the way in which the two strands are fully compatible. There's a book by John Richardson called Nietzsche's New Darwinism, in which Richardson, a Nietzsche scholar, by the way, tries to sort of harmonize Nietzsche and Darwin. Now, interestingly, while I said that Nietzsche's atheism ran deeper than Darwin, let me say why. Darwin wanted to get rid of the idea of God, but he didn't want to get rid of the idea of Victorian morality. In fact, Darwin was worried that taking away the idea of God would take away the idea of conventional Victorian morality, which Darwin strongly supported. Nietzsche was the opposite. Nietzsche wanted to get rid of God and what he called the shadows of God, which is Christian morality. So Nietzsche wants to eradicate morality in the conventional sense and replace it with a kind of, you may say, new morality, a morality based upon what Nietzsche calls the will to power, the idea of somehow ascending above the human species. I mean, almost say Nietzsche wants to take evolution further, doesn't stop with man, as Darwin thought, but rather man can cross this dangerous bridge, says Nietzsche, to something better than man, what Nietzsche calls the overman, somewhat crudely called the superman. Now, the problem with trying to reconcile Nietzsche with Darwin is this. Nietzsche attacks Darwin. Nietzsche actually has a section in his autobiography called Anti-Darwin, and it begins like this. It says, scholarly oxen, I think he's thinking of people like John Richardson, scholarly oxen means scholarly dummies. He says, suspect me of Darwinism. And so for Nietzsche, this is like an insult. First of all, Nietzsche is a German. He regards European, which is to say German and French culture, as far superior to kind of what he sees as low a shopkeeper British culture. So he doesn't like Darwin in part because Darwin is an Englishman. But in a more sophisticated way, what Nietzsche says is, listen, Darwin claims that everything comes down to survival of the fittest. For Darwin, it's all about survival. And according to Darwin, our motivation is nothing more than to survive and reproduce. That's how we came to be. That's what our inner drives are all about. And Nietzsche goes, nonsense. Nietzsche agrees that this could be the case for a kind of bacteria and for fruit flies and viruses and insects and fishes. For them, it is all about survival. But what about for man? Nietzsche says, observe man. Do you see human beings spend all their time trying to do nothing more than survive and reproduce? No. Nietzsche goes, really, the main inner drive of human beings is for power. Here comes Nietzsche's famous phrase, the will to power, that we have a desire to acquire and dominate and accumulate more power for ourselves, and then also to exercise power over others. Think about a guy who has, you know, $50 million and can do whatever he wants with his life. Why is he still working? What's he trying to do? According to Nietzsche, he's trying to gain more money so he can have more influence, more status, more power. He isn't just trying to survive. Yeah, he might go for the younger wife, but on the other hand, his main drive is power itself, and it's the power that becomes the magnet that even attracts the younger wife. So for Nietzsche, power is the main thing. And Nietzsche thinks that Darwin, in that sense, has it wrong. He says Darwin's evolution is asserted but not proved. Very interesting here. Nietzsche's making kind of the same argument against Darwin that we hear from creationists. We hear from people today where they say Darwin is asserting something, but he hasn't, in fact, established it. Now, what I find striking about the Darwinian view of human nature, which is essentially humans selfishly trying to perpetuate their genes. Richard Dawkins wrote a book many years ago, I think his best book, called The Selfish Gene. And Dawkins' point is it's not so much that we are always selfish, but our genes are. It's almost like our genes want nothing more than to perpetuate themselves. And a lot of human behavior can be understood as a response to what our genes, our inner constitution is making us do or is steering us to do. But clearly Darwin has the low view of human nature. Human nature is clawingly aimed at survival and at producing descendants so that it replicates itself in the world. And Nietzsche's view of human nature is also the low view. Human beings are motivated not by generosity, but by this kind of unending concupiscence for power. Very interestingly, these views are compatible with the Christian view of human nature. They're not compatible with the whole Christian framework. Let's remember Darwin doesn't see the need for a creator to put the whole evolutionary process in motion. Nietzsche doesn't think we need either God or morality because man creates his own morality. Man can actually make himself into a creature better than man somehow. But the Christian view of human nature is the low view. The Christian view is that human nature is warped, it's broken, it is, in the words of the in the understanding of the Old Testament, fallen. It's fallen away from God. And it is in need of remaking. It is in need of redemption. So without embracing either Darwinism, and as I've said before, I don't see any incompatibility between evolution and Christianity, but nevertheless, without embracing Darwin's atheistic creed or Nietzsche's rival atheistic creed, what we can say is that they do have an insight into human nature, an insight, however, that is best remedied not through an embrace of just social Darwinism, not through an embrace of Nietzsche's absurd idea that we can somehow rise above our humanity. We really can't. But through the Christian idea that we can reach out to God and achieve redemption if reciprocally he reaches down to us. Guys, I want to do our question for today. But before I do, I want to say a heartfelt word of thanks because Cynthia Hughes, the woman who runs the Patriot website, the website that provides aid and assistance and also comfort to January 6th families, she sent Debbie a text to say, hey, guys, when you did the full hour interview with Julie Kelly on Friday, my phone was ringing off the hook. I was getting support and contributions were pouring in. And I'm just so grateful to you guys and to Julie. This is awesome. I just wanted to let you know that so many of you responded and thank you very much for doing that. And shows that there's real power in what we do together. So once again, thanks very much. And let's keep doing it. Let's go to our question for today. Listen.
Hi, Dinesh. My name is Eric. My wife and I enjoy your podcast and appreciate all the time and sacrifice you and your wife put into producing the show. I wanted to get your insights on the question of being engaged in our nation's democracy. After the election votes have been cast and counted, what is the most impactful and practical ways for those who love this country to bring about healthy change? My wife and I, like most people, have to work a 9-to-5 job, along with the typical chores and stresses that come with daily living. With time and money usually being the most significant limiting resources, it is difficult, if not impossible, to move the needle of positive change in a meaningful way for this nation. For example, almost everyone acknowledges there's rampant government corruption, yet it continues to go from bad to worse. What are some practical ways the common person can bring about positive change when the forces of evil are so strong and resources so limited? I look forward to your response. Thank you.
I think that it's a very good question. And I think that even if we're busy with ordinary life, and we all are in many ways, I think that we should recognize that the country is going through a difficult time. There are times when your country demands more of you than under normal conditions. And when you recognize that the country is the framework for our way of life. So if the country falls apart, then the stock market falls apart. And if the stock market falls apart, you may not have a job. And if you don't have a job, it's going to be hard to look after your family. So what I'm saying is that to invest some time and resources in I would say step one is to be informed. And I try very hard to make this podcast, you know, a real fount of knowledge so that you can deepen your understanding of issues and equip yourself to be able to have information that other people can benefit from and that can also counter the bad guys. So step number two is to use your influence in your social life and through social media to get the word out, because I can't do that, but you can help amplify my message and the message of others to get the word out. And you have to do that in a prudent way. No one's asking you to be reckless. No one's asking you to, you know, tell your boss he doesn't know what he's talking about. But on the other hand, where you can exercise your influence, you should. You certainly should make sure that your kids are not being propagandized. You should do what you can to, if you can't run for school board, or you don't have time to do that, okay, let the school board know what you think about what they're doing. So be active as a citizen. Here's the interesting point. We've got 300 million people in this country, but there's only a small fraction. I'm estimating this number is maybe 100,000, maybe 200,000 who are actively engaged in politics. And what that means is that these are the people, not the 300 million, but the 200,000. They're the ones who shape the parameters of, quote, public opinion. They're the ones ultimately who get a response from politicians. They're the ones who shape what is talked about in the media. So in other words, if you are one of that group, your impact is magnified. It is not the same as someone who is sitting there inert on the couch. It is 10 times, 50 times, 100 times what that person is doing. So I think that there are ways, if you set your mind to it, to ask, how can I, in my sphere of influence, have the maximum impact? If you do that, then you're doing all that you can do. You're doing your part. And all of us and your country is and will be grateful for it.
Subscribe to the Dinesh D'Souza podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify, or watch on Rumble, YouTube, and SalemNow.com. Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.